Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
While we were worshiping, God really spoke to me something that I want to really share with you because I believe God is speaking to the church. Many of us have a goal to be an expert of something. Some of you may want to be an expert in playing guitar or expert in being a businessman or a writer or a teacher or a singer or musician, whatever that we have passion for. And while we were worshiping, God was speaking to me that our relationship with God is like a husband and wife or like a lover. Jesus is our fiancé. We are His future bride or future wife, and we're going to meet Him in the wedding ceremony one day. And God is so full of love, so full of sincere love, and God loves us so much. He loves us like the apple of His eyes. Christianity is about love, in fact. Think about it, because our God is love. So He told me that as Christian, we should set the goal to be an expert in the area of being a lover. And then God showed me that in our walk on earth here, we should set the goal that we will be a lover of God. We will be the best girlfriend of God. You understand what I mean? That we will give our boyfriend, Jesus Christ, or our lover, our fiancé, a joy, a happiness in His heart. He will be looking forward to meeting us. So everyone should set a goal to be a lover of God and an expert lover. And the second thing is that we should develop ourselves to be a lover of our own family. I give you example. God really encouraged me as a Christian husband to be loving my wife and to be an expert, to be a great lover to my wife, that I will improve my daily life of being a loving husband to her and being a loving father to my kids. And at the same time, we need to be an expert in being a lover or loving people around us. If you put your energy or your effort into something and do the best for that goal, we will be the best in it. Is that right? We will be good at it. Like some musician, they practice guitar, practice piano, practice. And some of you may be a foreign student here. And now your goal is to, the number one is to understand English and speak English very well to the point that very minimal accent. Is that your goal? That's my goal when I first came to America, that I want to improve my English language as much as I can. I want to know how to speak with less and less accent and with less and less mistake in my pronunciation. So we put the goal, we put energy, we want to be the best in that area. We will be good in that area. The same thing, I want to challenge all of you to be an expert, very good at loving God and loving people. Definitely, in the realm of loving, there are different kinds of loving relationship. The loving relationship between you and God, and the loving relationship between you and your spouse, you and your kids, or you and your parents, you and the members in the church, and your loving relationship toward the lost world. While we were worshiping God, God really inspired me that I and you need to set the goal to be loving people. That we're going to be so good at being a lover, being a loving person. You think that's a good idea? If we don't set that goal, we will never put an effort onto it. We will never study about it. We will never look into our life, examine ourselves to see what else we can do to be a loving person. Amen. Lately, actually, Pastor Dai is not standing here, but I want to let you know that I really set the goal that, in fact, when I was a young man and was her boyfriend, and when we were a young couple, I look back, I really feel a little bit bad inside me. I feel that I was not a good, loving person to her that I should be. I will not waste my time anymore. God just showed me, even though I'm already come to a certain age, but God said that it's not too late. I need to be a very loving husband to her. And I want to improve and be the best loving person to my wife and my kids and church members. Amen?
Amen.
But that's not the topic I'm going to talk today. That's just an encouraging word to all of you. How many people say, God, help me to be a loving person? You want to grow in love. Amen? And if you can walk in love, people will see God in you because God is love. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we submit this time to you. We ask you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, we will, Lord, bring into captivity our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Lord, we believe that your Holy Spirit is our teacher and our comforter. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to you. Help us not to be in errors, not to receive any fault or any wrong teaching, but we will know the truth because the truth will set us free. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen.
Amen.
I would like to share about demonology again. You know, demonology means talking about the enemy or demons. If you have listened to many teachings in the past, you're looking to the scripture, looking into the scripture, learning about the life of Jesus. There's no question at all that evil spirits or demons are real. And they are working now on earth against all of us and against human being. Their goal is to torture us, to deceive us, to kill us, to cause us to fail, cause us to be discouraged, and also to distract us and steal us from the relationship with Christ. They will do everything to cause us to fail. I want to encourage all of you to go and find those CD. It will come out as a series eventually. It's going to be quite a while. It's not going to come out right away because I have a lot to teach. Until I finish all the teaching, then it will come out as a series. But this is something that we should know. The more we know about our enemy around us, the easier we can protect ourselves and we can get rid of them from our life. The enemy or evil spirit are out there looking to come back and destroy us. So tonight I will teach about four common reasons why full deliverance is not happening in a person. I believe that all of you don't want to be tortured by evil spirits. All of you don't want to be in chain or be bound by demons, because they will come to destroy you. And we all want to be delivered. We want to be set free from demons so that we can be full of energy and full of power to serve the Lord. God wants to set the captive free. God wants to set His people free from demonic power. I know that this is a very rare subject to hear in the church. In fact, I believe that millions of Christians in the world never heard about demons and never understand about how demons work. And that's why I have a burden to prepare or to produce this teaching series to teach our members, not only in this generation, but generation to come. I don't know about you, but I know one thing, that in 1988, I was set free. Even though I was a pastor already, I was set free from demons. In one meeting, the Holy Spirit came down and touched me, and demons came out of me. Bunch of them, maybe, I don't know, hundreds of them came out of me that night. I was touched by God. I was on the floor, and demons came out of me. And after that day, I have never been the same. My love for Jesus, my relationship with Jesus have changed so much. Everything in my life have been restored and turned around since 1998. I have a few questions before I mention about common reasons why people are not set free, why they could not be completely delivered from demonic power. I would like to present a few questions first. The first question that people ask is, how do I know if I am completely free from demons? I want to tell you right now, the answer to this question is very disappointing. In other words, I cannot tell who have been totally free. I cannot even tell whether I am totally free or not. There are many kinds of demons out there that want to dwell in us and live on the inside of us. Maybe a little one, maybe demon of jealousy, maybe demon of laziness, maybe demon of gossiping, demon of religion, whatever. Our goal is trying to get into the presence of God and expel or cast them out as much as we can. Can we give a certificate to somebody and say, you are totally free now? No. There is no way we can tell whether we are or somebody else is totally free. But we need to do our best to live a pure life and holy life and want to be set free as much as we can. Because I know this fact, that's why I never want to give up in the area of revival or the fire of God. Because every Sunday, when you come into the church and we allow the fire of God to touch people, I want to tell you, if I were you, if I'm a member, I would run to the front to be prayed for every Sunday. I want the fire of God to touch me every Sunday. You know why? Because I'm not even sure I'm totally free or not from demonic power. And number two, after Sunday, Monday to Saturday, I don't know, something may happen. I may sin, I may do something wrong, and certain demon may try to come back into me. So I go to church on Sunday, the fire of God will come in and burn them out, kick them out again. I notice one thing, that since I have invited and welcomed the fire of God into the church, every time I lay hand on people, every time I allow the fire of God to move in the church through me, I am like a horse, you know, like a pipe that allow the fire of God to flow through me and to touch other people. I was cleansed myself. You understand what I'm talking about? Because the fire of God passed through me. So the cleansing, the purging of the demonic power in my life happened every Sunday myself. So if we want to keep ourselves clean all the time, we need to come into the anointing. And we need to do four things that we are going to mention in this meeting tonight. Four things that will hinder us. If we don't do these four things, we will be hindered from receiving full deliverance of full freedom from demonic power. Lately, God spoke to me that there is one kind of spirit that work in the world called the spirit of doubt. Or God told me, I'm going to preach this sermon, hopefully, maybe in a few months. I'm writing the lesson right now, called the spirit of victim. The demon come in and make you feel like victim, feel like a defeated person. Everything just fail. No one care about me. I feel bad for myself. This is kind of spirit that cause you not to succeed or to move on with your life. I give you example, and I'm going to preach about that in the future. So there is no way we can tell whether we are totally free or not. The best we can do is to follow the Word of God, as I'm going to teach tonight, and keep getting into the fire of God or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The second question is, where do demons go after they were cast out from a human being? Let me read the scripture here in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. You need to understand that Jesus gave these statements in a general way, it is not made for a specific individual. This is a general principle regarding demonology. The Bible says when an unclean spirit, mean demon, goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. Then he says, mean the evil spirit say, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Again, listen carefully. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. You can see here that the Lord Jesus gave us general principle of where demons go after we cast them out. You notice that Jesus never cast demons into hell. Jesus cast them out, and where do they go? They go out into the world, and what do? They are looking for the new body or the previous body to get back in. Demons want to live in a body. Demons will not be happy, will not be satisfied, will not rest until they find a body to dwell in and to demonstrate their own character, such as character of drug addiction, character of sexual immorality, character of lying or deceiving or sickness, whatever. They want to demonstrate their own character in a body. Is that right? They are so perverted to think that the body that they live in, they called a house. If you read the Bible, you can see that many times the devil will call the body that they live in my house. So every time you challenge them to go out from somebody, they will be mad at you and they will claim that this is my belonging. That body belongs to me and I don't want to get out of here. I see this all the time when I cast out demons in the church meeting. I remember one time I cast out demon from a lady in a church meeting. Oh, that demon tried to grab me and fight with me, grab my hand and kept speaking to me. I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. This is my body. This is my house. And I have to say, in Jesus' name, you must go right now. And eventually they went. They left. And that lady was set free completely. Actually, she has a demon of committing suicide. She told me after she was set free that, number one, she did not remember at all what she spoke to me while she was on the floor. When I was casting out demon on the floor, she was lying down and I lay hand on her head and say, go away right now. And she could not even remember what she spoke to me because the demon was speaking to me. Number two, she told me that before that night, she heard the voice, go and jump out of the building every single day. Kill yourself. You are not worthy. You are not good enough. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. And she almost did it. I believe that these demons are working in many cities. I heard that in Tokyo, there are a lot of people committing suicide every single year. Is that true? Statistically, more people killing themselves in Tokyo than many cities in the world. I think that demons are working in that city very, very powerfully right now. That's why we need to bring the fire of God to Japan. There is no other way. You cannot just go there with nice word or nice preaching. You need to go with the power of God to cast demon out. So they go out and they want to come back in. And they will fight the most they can not to go out from their house. Jesus never cast out demon into the pit. If you can find one scripture in the Bible that say that Jesus cast out demon into hell, I will bow down to you right now. There's no one time in the Bible that Jesus cast demon into hell. Jesus cast them out and they have freedom to go anywhere. In fact, you remember one time in Mark chapter 5 verse 15, Jesus met a crazy man who had bunches of demons in him. And when Jesus asked that man, "What is your name?" mean ask the demon inside, "What is your name?" Demon answer, "My name is Legion, because we have so many." The word Legion, L-E-G-I-O-N, in the Roman Empire, one legion of soldier was composed of 6,000 soldiers. I am not trying to suggest to you that there were 6,000 demons in that man. But when demon answer, "We are called legions," it means that there must be hundreds or thousands of demons in that man. And those demons say to Jesus, "You're going to cast us out? Can you send us into those swine?" You remember the story? And after demon came out of him, demons went into the swine, and the swine jumped out of the cliff, and they all drowned and died. You remember that story in Mark chapter 5? In other words, demons will look for a body to dwell, and the best body is the body of human being. That's why everybody in the world, whether believer, no question at all, non-believers have bunch of demons in them because they don't have Jesus. Even believer, they will look for a chance to go back in. Demons out there, millions of demons out there looking for a body to stay. If they cannot go back into the human body, they rather stay in human body. But if they cannot, they will find animals' body to stay in, like swine, monkey, dog, whatever, lion. They will stay in the body until they can find the human body. But you never find one time that Jesus cast demon into hell or into the pit. In fact, we cannot do better than Jesus. If I can do the ministry like Jesus, I would be very satisfied. So to improve the ministry of Jesus is impossible. If Jesus could not cast demon into hell, I could not cast demon into hell. They go out of people and they will roam around looking for people to devour again. Both Jesus and demon know that there is a timetable or a time program. One day, Jesus will come back, and the only person who knows the timing of all the demons going to be sent to hell is the Father in heaven. The time will come that one that day, demons and the devil and evil angels will be cast into hell and will be locked up there for eternity. But that day is not here yet. That time program will happen one day. Why did Jesus allow demons to go into the swine? I don't believe that because he is a Jew and he don't like pox. You see what I mean? I believe that in my experience of casting out demons, when you cast a lot of demons out, the person who are being set free will be physically exhausted, because demon will try to fight and resist and come in opposition. So if 6,000 or 1,000 of demons try to come out from that man, and Jesus had to force them out, can you imagine those 6,000 demons or 1,000 of demons in that gentleman in the book of Mark chapter 5 would really give this man a hard time, and his physical body may not be able to handle the warfare or the resistance of 6,000 demons. That's why Jesus allowed demon to go out quietly or smoothly into the swine without fighting with one another, without great opposition from demons. Amen. So everyone understand that we don't know whether we are totally set free or not. Every one of us should seek to be set free, should realize that we need to be cleansed by the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. And we don't cast demons out into hell. And we need to protect ourselves. I'm going to teach a lesson in the near future, how to protect ourselves from having demons come back again. into our life. The protection, the guarding methods of demon will not come back into your home. Let me ask another question. Can we cast out demon from a distance? For example, I pray sitting here and command demon to go out from a Christian in Indonesia. Can I do that? If I know that a relative of mine in Indonesia has been demonized or attacked by demon, can we? What the Bible say? The Bible say, if you have faith, you speak to this mountain, the mountain will be removed into the sea. You remember the story of Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7, verses 25 to 30, when a Greek woman, Syrophoenician woman, came to Jesus and said, could you please heal my daughter who have been demonized? And Jesus even said, I don't want to give bread to the dog. In other words, Jesus tried to say that this deliverance or healing belong to the people of God or the Jews. You are the foreigner. And that woman said, I am willing to eat the crumb from your table, the leftover food. And Jesus said, this lady have a great faith. Right at that minute, her daughter was completely set free from demon. Did Jesus go to her home to cast out demon? Did Jesus go and lay hand there? No. Because of Jesus' power of speaking deliverance for that woman, that daughter, and because of her faith, that daughter at home was healed. Lately, I and Pastor Da knelt down in our bedroom and pray for deliverance of our niece's nephew in Thailand. Our kids, even though we don't go lay hand on them, we pray for our members this morning. I pray for every member in the church by faith that demons cannot touch you. Demons have to go out from you and cannot destroy you. Amen? Amen. We can command them from far away by faith. Sometimes God did not deliver you completely one time. God pulled them out one by one because you cannot handle anyway. That's why we keep coming back to the prayer line. That's why we're coming back to the church to be in the presence of God and let God cleanse us one demon, two demons at a time every Sunday. Eventually, as years go by, we become more and more clean and free. Amen? Now, let's look at common reasons. I'm going to share with you four common reasons why full deliverance does not happen. The first reason why people don't obtain full deliverance or full liberty from demonic power. Number one, lack of true repentance. Everyone say, lack of true repentance. Many Christians in the world do not have even a clue or an idea what true repentance means. First of all, I want to share this. Repentance is not an emotion. Some Christians are very emotional. Cry, laugh, jump up and down. Very emotional in the church. But when they go home, they do the same thing. They never change their life. They never repent. What is repentance? Repentance is a decision of our will. It's a firm decision of our will to stop fooling around with sin, with wrong attitudes, with stubbornness, rebellion, disobedience with the world and with Satan. Stop playing with sins. Changing the condition of the heart that will affect changing of the lifestyle and behavior. Repentance means changing your heart. Stop following the sinful way, turn around 180 degrees and follow the way of God. But it starts from your heart. Without repentance, you cannot be set free. For example, if you have a habit of lying and you are controlled by demons of lie, or drug addiction, and you don't want to repent, you say, oh, you know, I enjoy drugs. I enjoy lying anyway. I'm not going to stop it. Even a very great minister with so full anointing lay hand on you, you may not be set free because you still welcome that demon to live on the inside of you. You only can get rid of them when you say, I don't want you to be here. Get out of here. You resist the devil and say, get out of here. But in order to get rid of them, you need to repent. You need to agree with God that you don't want that demon. You don't want that kind of sins in your life. It's interesting. Do you know that the first sermon or the first message that Jesus preached is about repentance? In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus preached like this. I know his preaching is not as long like me. He just say a few words and people repent already. He's so powerful. He say like this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the first sermon that Jesus preached in his ministry, he tried to say this, the first basic truth of Christian faith, without this truth, you don't have the true Christian faith in your life, is repentance. Listen one more time. There is no real Christian faith in your heart without true repentance. Without repentance, you don't have the true faith in God. As a pastor, I have observed so many so-called Christians in the church around the world. And I noticed one thing. Those who call themselves Christians have problem in their life, a lot of problem in their life, not because they don't have faith in Jesus, but because they don't have repentance. Without repentance, I will tell you right now that your Christian walk will never work. You need to repent of your sin. Amen? Change your mind and do it differently. This is the problem. Many Christians come to the prayer line just to get off hook. When the devil or demons attack you, they will come with some form of torment or torturing. Such as, if demon attack you, you cannot sleep, you may be sick. Do you notice one thing that I rarely get sick? Because it's very hard for demon to stay inside my body. Every Sunday, the fire of God passed through me. So sickness cannot stay around. Demon of sickness cannot stay in me. Do you want to be healthy? Stay in the fire of God. Stay in revival. You will stay healthy because the fire of God will cleanse you out. The power of resurrection, the Holy Spirit will cleanse all the demon out of you. When demon attacks somebody, it will come with distressing, unpleasant feeling, lack of sleep, sickness, depression, discouragement, a lot of things going on that torture that person. And a lot of time people just want to get off hook, want to get out of the problem. And many times God will not let demon come out from us until we repent. Because if demon come out, we will never repent. So God said, repent first and I will get rid of demon from you. You remember the Bible say one time that that person does not want to forgive another person. Therefore, he will be tortured. Committing sin and refusing to repent is a hindrance to be set free from demon. Should we repent every day?
Yes.
We should repent every day. Amen? Don't let demon stay around in your life. Repent of your sin every day. When you read the Bible, when you listen to sermon, when you hear something that God speak to you, repent. Lately, I repented of one thing. I repented that in the past, I did not show love to my wife enough. I repented and I promised God that I'm going to be a better loving husband to her. I will speak nicer to her. I will be more sensitive to her. I will do everything in my life to pay back those years that I did not show love to her enough. I repented. And when I repented, I changed my lifestyle. I want to take action. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes sin may not be like robbing a bank or go and kill somebody. Maybe sin of not being sensitive to your wife. And all the ladies say,
Amen.
Amen. Second one, the second reason of failure to receive deliverance is failure to confess certain sins. You need to understand this. God created the heavens and the earth. The universe belonged to God. The earth belonged to God. Therefore, God sets the rules. This rule is not Pastor Lau's rule. God's rule is that if you want God to forgive you and set you free, God say you must confess your sin. You don't just repent, but you need to confess. When we confess any sin, we don't tell God something that he doesn't know. When we confess our sin, we don't surprise God. God already know what we are doing. No one can hide anything from God. Amen. Today, one of my assistants, one of my employees, compliment me that, Dr. Lau, you are so good in listening to your patient. You look at their eyes. This is what she say. You look at their eyes and you nod your head and you listen and make all the patient love you. But maybe inside you, you think in your heart that, oh, what a boring story. You know, when I listen to that, it's true. She is right that maybe in my heart, I may think in my heart that what a boring story I tell you. But my face, I was smiling and I nod my head and like I enjoy listening. They may not know, the patients may not know that in my heart, I think that this is a boring story. But who knows? God knows. You will not surprise God whatever you confess. I want to let you know right now. But he wants you to confess. He wants you to agree with him and confess with your mouth that I am wrong. Today, I confess my sin. I told my secretary that yesterday I sinned because one of my patients, the husband, told me this. Doctor, my wife, the x-ray report said that there are 4 areas of abnormalities in her neck. Why don't you fix all of them instead of fixing one? You know, in my heart, I was thinking like this. Wow, this guy, there he talked like this to a car mechanic. Tell the car mechanic how to fix the car. I was upset with him. But that is in my heart. And in the real me inside, I was very mad and I was very arrogant and I want to yell at him. But outside on my face, because I did not want to lose my patient, I smiled and I was talking nice to him. Oh, this is the reason I did this. But in my heart, I had a bad attitude. And I repent and I confess that sin, that I had a bad attitude toward that husband. You can hide everything, but God knows. You can hide everything from human being, but God knows what is in your heart. You need to confess. The Bible says in James chapter 5 verse 16, confess your trespasses, mean wrongdoings or wrong attitudes, to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you know that 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, the Bible talk about repentance and confessing your sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us, including cleanse our bondage, our sin, and cleanse us from demonic power, demonic change, and demonic activities in our life. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So we need to confess with our mouth. God wants us to verbally say it. Let me explain to you one of the practical points. There are times that we confess our sin only to God. But there are times also that we confess sin to human being too. The confession that we make regarding our sin must be as wide as the sin that we commit. I give you example. If I have a bad attitude myself and no one else get involved, I confess only sin to God. But if I steal money from Makoto, I steal money from him, I need to confess my sin of stealing money from him to him and to God. I don't need to tell the whole church. But if I commit sin against the whole church, for example, if I steal money from this church, I need to stand up on the stage and confess my sin to the whole church that I steal money. Could you please forgive me? And confess my sin to God as well. The extent of your confession is in the amount of people involved in that sin. If a husband committed adultery, he cannot just say, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I quit fooling around with another woman now. I'm going to go back home and stay with my wife." It's not enough. He need to go to his wife and say, "Honey, I'm sorry, I commit adultery, I cheated you." He need to confess his sin in order to be set free from demonic power. Amen. There are certain sins that people don't want to confess. Sin of pride, sin of abortion, sin of stealing. We need to confess every single sin if God tells us what we did wrong. Amen. Why so quiet around here? Have you confessed your sin? When was the last time you confessed your sin to God? Do it. Repent and confess. Number three, the third reason that people don't receive full deliverance. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Failure to forgive others is the reason of not receiving full deliverance. What does it mean, forgiving? Forgiveness is an act of our will. It's not an emotion either. I know it's hard to do when people hurt your feeling. Because we don't live alone on earth here. We live with a lot of people. We associate with a lot of people. Somebody has or will offend us or hurt our feeling off and on. Is that right? And the most common offenses usually happen in your own family. Your wife, your spouse, your husband, your kids. People that are close to you the most, you have most problem with in relationship. The church members, your pastor. Have you forgiven your pastor that he said something too strong on the pulpit on Sunday? Make you upset? "Oh, he offend me. I'm not happy today." Did you forgive him? Forgiveness is not an emotion. Your girlfriend too? Did you forgive your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Every day. It's a decision. Amen. It means tearing up I owe you. For example, if Pastor Tyson has lended me $10,000, he's a rich man. So I gave him back a paper signed Pastor Lahaprasit. "I owe you $10,000 and will return that money to you in 3 months. When 3 months comes, he will come to me and talk to me, "Where is your money?" I say, "I'm sorry, I don't have." But by the grace of God, Pastor Tyson is so merciful to me. "I know you're in financial trouble. I have that paper that you gave to me 3 months ago. I owe you." He tears the "I owe you" paper. At that time, my debt was canceled. I am free because of his forgiveness. Forgiveness means I tear the "I owe you." I read a story about a woman who was very upset with her husband. And the pastor asked her, she has been divorced, the husband ran out after another woman. The pastor asked her, "Do you forgive your husband yet?" Oh, she answered, "I know that he's a weak man. Do you forgive your husband yet?" Oh, I pray for him. "Do you forgive your husband yet?" "I know God forgive him." "Do you forgive your husband yet?" "Not yet. He has made my life miserable in the past 15 years. And this is the answer from the pastor. If you don't forgive him, your life will be miserable for 15 more years. Forgive him now and move on with your life. It's true. If you don't forgive people, your life will be miserable. Amen.
Amen.
When I prepared this lesson, I knelt down and bowed down and prayed and asked God, and I forgive everyone who offended me. Anybody in the church, in my family who has hurt me, who has done anything wrong to me, I say, God, I forgive all of them. And I begin to pray for them and bless them, bless their life, bless their family, bless their marriage. Bless them, bless them, bless them. I don't want to live in unforgiveness. Amen. If we want to be set free. In fact, forgiveness is self-interest. It's good for yourself. Let me explain to you. If you owe God $10,000 and Christine owes you $10, and God say like this, if you tear the IOU, the paper that Christine gave you $10, I will cancel your debt toward me, $10,000. Is it a good deal? Is that right? If you are a very smart businessman, you will give up the debt of Christine and get God forgive you or tear the IOU $10,000. 10 and 10,000. That's what happened. When we forgive somebody, God will tear the IOU. All of our sins, everything that we have done in the past, He will forgive us. It's a good deal. Everyone say, good deal.
Good deal.
Amen. I don't say that it's easy to do. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And many times, when you forgive somebody, God wants us to do it with our mouth. You go to that person and say, I forgive you, I love you, and I tear the IOU. Don't worry about it anymore. Sometimes it's good to do that verbally. I thank God that many times Pastor Da come to me. I hurt her a lot. I hurt her a lot. In fact, I pray that all the young men in our church will not do that to their girlfriend or their wife, to hurt ladies like that. I hurt her a lot in the past, and she forgive me, and she come to me and say, you know, I forgive you now. And it really healed me. I know that my sin and my trespass have been lifted up. I am free now because somebody has forgiven me. Amen?
Amen.
Forgive people in your family. I remember 1983. That is a turning point of my Christian walk. I was a young believer. I was struggling in my faith. And I was invited to go to Holland or Netherlands to a meeting. And I never forgot the last meeting in Netherlands or in Holland. The preacher asked four or five people sit together as a circle and repent of the sin of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness to your own country, to your parents, to whoever hurt you. I remember that day I was sitting there talking to the three or four strangers because I don't know them. They come from other country. We all speak in English. And I say that I forgive my mom. I forgive my dad. I forgive my brother and sister. I tell you, that day is a turning point of my Christian walk. I began to turn around and my life get better in my faith because I obey God to forgive my dad and my mom. Amen. I was hurt by my dad and my mom because they never get along. They always were fighting with each other. So I was not happy with them. But I forgive them on that day in 1983. The last reason that people don't obtain the full deliverance is to not break themselves from the occult. What is the occult? The occult is anything that is against God or not come from God, like false teaching, false religions, horoscope. You know horoscope. Horoscope mean try to find the future to reading the situation around. I read to you certain accounts such as divination, mean fortune telling. That is an occult. Astrologer, looking at the future by looking at the star in the sky. Charmer, try to get somebody to like you by using magic power. Witchcraft, using spells or curses or hypnosis. So anything that use power to control something or somebody by using the power of darkness, the power of darkness is called occult. And I believe that many people in the world have practiced occultism. I myself did it too. When I was young, I practiced certain kinds of occult. Look at this scripture in Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 19. Acts chapter 19, 13 to 19. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you." How many people watch the movie Exorcist? Exorcise means cast out some spirit. By the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who you are?" In other words, you cannot use the name of Jesus without faith and without true relationship with him. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You can see that demon can give power to a man so much that he can hurt seven people at one time. But this one man could hurt seven people. This one man could hurt seven people at one time. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many who had believed came, confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic, magic is a form of occult, brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them. It totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. You can see here that in the book of Acts, demonic activity are so real to people. These people, the exorcists or non-believer, see the power of God, that God can cast out demons. Is it amazing that today you don't see casting out demons in the church that much anymore? Actually, it should be normal in the church. Think about it. Everywhere Jesus went, he cast out demons. Why don't we see in the church today? Because this teaching has been lacking. This teaching has never been taught even to the pastor. In fact, every church should learn how to cast out demons. Every pastor should know how to cast out demons. Every Christian should know how to cast out demons from themselves. Amen. Don't keep them around in your life. Cast them out. Amen. So you can see in this story that at the end, people in Ephesus realized that they were playing with occults, and they brought those books of magic and burned them. They got rid of all this connection. If you still keep bad books, pornographic books, occultish book, false religion book in your belonging in your home, you are telling the devil that I still want you around me. You are not unwanted. You are still wanted. He's gonna put his dirty nose into your life again. He's gonna sneak in and put himself into your life. That's why we need to burn everything that is not related to God, that is related to satanic power. I remember around 1982, I have bunches of idols in my life. Expensive gold idols. The whole room full of idols, my belongings. I gave it to my missionary pastor and he burned them all. I get rid of all the bad books, all the idols, and I did not want to have anything with them anymore. I want to belong only to Jesus Christ. Amen. Burn them. Don't keep them. In order to be set free. Cut them off 100%. I want to conclude this teaching by reading the advice that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar. This advice was given by God through the prophet Daniel. And this advice is given to all of us here in this room right now and everyone who listened to this teaching. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Look out. The judgment of God is ahead of you. Therefore, O King, therefore, O young people in this room, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins. I want to add my own version. Break off your idols, your occult practice, your wrong practice by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. King Nebuchadnezzar did not listen to this advice. He continued to live in sin. And this is what happened to him in verse 33. The Bible says in verse 33, the outcome of not repenting. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven, who drove him? Demon. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair has grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. In other words, because King Nebuchadnezzar did not repent, did not break himself from wrong practices, he became a maniac. He became a crazy man by the power of demons. He was out of mind. He was living like an animal, feeding himself with grass on the field. And this is a good lesson to all of us. If we don't want demonic power, we need to repent, confess our sin, forgive people, and get rid of any wrong teaching, false teaching, any occult in our life, so that we can be set free. Amen.
Amen.
I hope that this lesson will help you to be set free from demonic power 100%. And you are the candidate of being set free. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you love us and you teach us in the Bible here. You teach us the Word of God. Father, we realize that if we know the truth shall set us free. Now we receive the truth of the Bible. And we recognize the truth of our own life, that we are sinners by nature, but we become righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, show us the sin that have been hidden in our heart and we don't know about it. Help us to repent and confess our sin, Father. Help us, Father, to forgive others. Lord, I pray, Lord, that every member in your church will be set free completely. Demonic power will be broken. The demonic power will be removed from their life, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. May God bless you, and I believe that you will be set free and be used of God, and God will really reveal His will and His plan for your life. And you will walk in His perfect plan and path. Amen.
Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.